Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome on into the sports bar. Glad you're with us at AM 950, 95.7 FM and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app. Hope you had a great weekend. We are back after an extended weekend. I am Mike Danger. Right over there, that's Gene Battaglia. Good day to you, sir.
Good day, Mike Danger. It's not every day we get to watch an NHL playoff game on a Monday afternoon.
I'm just still buzzing from such a great weekend of action, and we don't want to waste any of your time. We know how precious it is. You're always welcome to join us at 454-ESPN, but there's a lot to get to in the world of the NFL and the world of the Buffalo Bills specifically. That's why we wanted to start off this afternoon by talking to one of our regulars here from our radio.com sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo. It's time to catch up with Sal Capaccio after an eventful weekend for the Buffalo Bills. Sal, before we talk Bills, I think the last time we had Matt Parrino on, he told us about an epic battle. And really, this is the update we need in our lives. What happened in the battle of Parrino versus Capaccio on the Little League field?
Well, as you can imagine, both Parrino and Capaccio, the little guys, they both swung the bat really well. Both went 3-for-3 in the game. Yeah. And it was such a good game. I think they called it in a tie because there was just back and forth battle that no one could win. So the Central Amherst Blue Jays and the Central Amherst Cardinals, I think, battled to a tie thanks to the efforts of both Parrino and Capaccio.
Gino needs a team. So if you had to say one team over the other, I mean, he's a Mets fan here, long suffering. Is there one team? Which one is your son on?
He's on the Cardinals, actually. And Matt's on the Blue Jays. Matt's actually the head coach of the Blue Jays in the league. It's actually interesting. It is a good backstory, you know, just to kind of tell you the situation we're all in here. My son, actually, we live in the city of Buffalo, and he plays normally at what's called Hurdle North Park Little League, which is in the city, but they canceled their entire season. And, you know, we were looking for somewhere to play, and Matt, he lives out in Amherst. He said, hey, you know, our league is actually starting up. And he said, you know, maybe see about getting Max in there. So he passed along a couple of names and numbers, and I got in touch with a few people, and so we got Max signed up for that league, which he normally is not a part of, just so he can play baseball. So, you know, I'm glad and thankful that he has somewhere to play this year, obviously.
Sal Capaccio from Buffalo, Bill's sideline reporter, WGR, our guest, and part of, you know, you said come on at 3, Sal. I purposely booked the show with all guests, so we don't talk about Cespedes or the Mets today. That's part of the method. Yes, we'll have John Wildack coming up later this hour in the show. Sal, we've had this joke here in our show. We're not necessarily sports talk here recently. We're more logistics talk. So, you know, set the scene for us. And I know you're not out there. Nobody from the media is allowed out there right now. But what exactly are they doing when players report? Not much in the way of actual football activities, correct?
It's all strength and conditioning right now, basically. So, you know, how you have phase one, phase two, and phase three in April, usually, and there's always, like, really limitations on everything the players can do. That's essentially what they're doing. This is phase one, but they're calling it the acclimation period. So across the league, starting today, it's phase one for everybody. It's the acclimation period, which is basically just strength and conditioning. They're allowed, now here's what the limitations are right now. They're allowed 60 minutes in the weight room and 60 minutes of on-field conditioning, 2 hours total. And in those 2 hours, only strength and conditioning coaches can be with players. They're not allowed head coaches, position coaches, coordinators. After that, they can basically then go on the field, and they're allowed to have receivers, kickers, punters, long snappers. They're all allowed to use footballs. But there's a lot of rules that go along with that, and you know, you can't have any coverage one-on-one, nothing like that. So it's really basic limited stuff. Coaches can join them. The only difference is, which they are allowing now, as compared to what you normally would get in April, there are walkthroughs allowed. So a walkthrough, they're allowed up to 60 minutes on the field each day, today and for the next 3 days after today. And then they're allowed 75 minutes after that on the field for a walkthrough. So, you know, they're trying to kind of get everything a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then this goes through August 11th. They're going to get one day off there. And then once August 12th comes around, then they start to do more. It's called the gradual ramp-up period where we start to have actual football stuff.
Sal, I got to imagine that it's trying on everybody involved in terms of how much testing is being done. We've heard of a handful of players being placed on the COVID list, knowing that that list doesn't necessarily mean it's a positive test. Do these players that are participating in phase one feel safe knowing that the amount of testing that's going on pretty much ensures that the person that might be next to them in the weight room is COVID-free?
Well, look, they always have an option to opt out if they don't feel that, but I think that talking to Bills coaches, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, Jordan Poyer today, throughout the process of the offseason, I think that Bills players feel really good and confident about the approach that this organization has taken. And I got to be honest, I feel really good about it. I was just having a conversation with my wife about some of the things that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and Jordan Poyer were saying today, even when we talked with Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer was really good and explained a lot of stuff. And one of the things he talked about was what a day looks like. He said, you pull up your car early in the morning, you get tested right there. Your temperature checks, get tested. Every day they're getting tested. Then he says you go on your iPhone, you take an COVID questionnaire, you know, like we all do. Like those questions, have you been in contact with somebody, have you left the country, all those kinds of things. And then they have a tracker, and each player has a tracker. And actually Jordan Poyer, Thad Brown over there in Rochester actually tweeted from his Twitter account a picture, a screenshot of what Jordan Poyer's wearing, a tracker. And the tracker will actually buzz when you're within 6 feet of someone so that you know. He said, in the building, all meals, like lunches and stuff, the cafeteria is closed. It's all outside now. And it's all in a big space outside so that, you know, there's a lot of spacing in between people. And then when they go on the field and they're doing conditioning, there's literally 5 yards between every person. He said it's night and day how the facility has changed. Brandon Bean said a lot of the business people have essentially been, for a better term, kicked out. Like, not in a bad way, but kicked out of their spaces so that they can make more spaces to have meetings, and that way players can be in different rooms and not always in the same room when they're having meetings and things like that. So I think there's a lot of really interesting things that the Bills are doing that maybe other teams are doing. Maybe they're not, but I feel really good about, you know, like how the Bills have approached this, to be honest with you.
How do they manage the locker room? That's got to be the one place that showers. Everything is, it's, you know, not tight, but it's certainly not 6 feet apart, Sal.
It's a good question. I haven't seen the locker room yet. I don't know if we're ever going to get a chance. We usually don't anyway during camp and preseason. But I know that what other teams have done, they put partitions in. They've made lockers so that they've kind of gone one locker, then none, then one locker, then none. There's also auxiliary spaces now that I know most teams, and I'm sure the Bills probably are, using for lockers. You know, so normally you walk in and you got basically everybody's locker on one side, all the D linemen are one place, and all the receivers, and then you got mixed guys different places. And, you know, the Bills actually, they've done that before. Sean McDermott, I think he likes to have like a different leader, like in different areas of the locker room. Well, all that's got to change, and you have to kind of create a lot of space. So I don't know what the Bills are doing, but I know that, you know, based on what other teams have done and how they've gone about it, what's interesting, I think the Rams actually have put the players that not in the same position because they don't want it to spread through a position group. You know what I mean? So that's really interesting. Like, so everybody's going to have their own way of going about it. So, you know, if I see that, I'll pass it along. But right now, we haven't been able to get in to see exactly what the Bills are doing in their locker room.
We have a couple of Bills opting out. We knew about Star Lotulelei. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since that news broke. And we found out over the weekend that EJ Gaines has also opted out. Sal, update us on what the Bills have done towards filling some roster spots here, a couple of holes with some names that are new to the team. And also talk about the process of bringing these guys. I know Brandon Bean spoke to it this weekend. Bringing in guys is not the easy task that it once was. It's a much, much heavier lift for Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott to bring in new players.
Yeah, so the Bills and all teams have to be down to 80 players by August 17th. The Bills actually get 81 because they get a roster exemption for Christian Wade. He's still a part of the International Pathways Program. That's the roster exemption. But for all intents and purposes, it's 80 players by August 17th. And if you get to that 81 for the Bills, now, today, tomorrow, next week, whatever it is, you can have everybody practicing all at once, essentially, doing their walkthroughs, things like that. If you don't, you have to split squad it, which means you got to put all your first year and rookies in one group with a quarterback, And actually, the Carolina Panthers are doing that, and I understand why they're doing that. They have a young team, first-year head coach. They want to get a good look at everybody as much as possible, and they don't want to dismiss anybody out of hand. So the Bills, they had 88 as of last week. They had to get down to 81. Well, since last week, they've put five players on the reserve COVID list. All five players, they do not count on the active roster. So that gets them down to 83. Cole Beasley's on the NFI list, and Tommy Sweeney's on the PUP list. However, they are still on the active roster. So they don't count as far as, you know, not getting down. But they did have two players opt out, Star Lotulelei and E.J. Gaines. And to fill those spots, they went out and they signed Niles Scott, who had been with the Cincinnati Bengals as a defensive tackle. And they also signed Akeem King from the Seattle Seahawks as a defensive back. He's a special teamer. He can play inside. He can play outside. So that's how they got down to 81. So that's where they are right now. They have 81 players on the roster. They're allowed to obviously have all those guys. Now, the moment a player comes off the reserve COVID list, whether that's Duke Williams or Sharan Neal or any of the other three guys, the Bills have to make a roster move if they want to stay at the number that they want to have practiced all together, which I'm sure they will. As this goes on, whether that's now or I'm guessing even in the regular season, but especially now, what's interesting is if the Bills want to even work a player out, let alone sign him, just bring him to work him out, they have to have a roster spot available. So literally, Brandon Bean's going to have to cut somebody just to have somebody else come to the facility to work out because the league wants to maintain not having that many people at the facility at once. So that's why it's very challenging to go through this process. A guy could get, now you could do a virtual workout, but man, coaches want to see a player. They want to talk to him. They want to pick his brain. They want to know a little bit more about him before actually signing him to a contract. So that's what makes it a little more difficult.
A lot of challenges this year. Sal Capaccio, our guest, big injury news over the weekend. John Feliciano, right guard, in my opinion, that is a big loss, but there are options here. So, Sal, what are the options at right guard? Might we see Cody Ford bounce inside?
Yeah, I think you're going to see, or at least we'll hear about, maybe some reps, him getting there. I don't know what they're going to do long term. I don't think they know what they're going to do long term. I think they want to see what he looks like at right guard. I think a lot of people felt he was better suited to play guard coming in the league, so maybe that's where that works. But at the same time, you know, there are, to me, a lot of really interesting options at guard already on the roster, and you may be a better team by keeping Cody Ford at right tackle and then putting one of these other players at guard, especially if, to me, what it comes down to, guys, is where do you see Cody Ford a year from now, 2 years from now? Like, is he a long-term right guard? Is he a long-term right tackle? And I think that's how you have to approach it, because I don't think you want to cut off your nose to spite your own face to move him this year and then move him back next year, you know? So, you know, if let's just say he does go to right guard, then you're going to have Ty Nsekhe and Darrell Williams basically battling it out for right tackle. If he does go stay at right tackle, then you have an interesting couple options. I think this team is very high on Ryan Bates. Ryan Bates played all five positions last year. He can play center, he can play guard, he can play tackle. Made the team after they traded for him mid-training camp from the Philadelphia Eagles, undrafted free agent. He's also a backup center, and that means a lot. He's position versatility, but so does Spencer Long. Spencer Long was a valuable backup at guard last year. I think another guy that people aren't talking about is Evan Bame. The Bills went out and signed Evan Bame as a free agent. He started 8 games at right guard last year for the Miami Dolphins. So the Bills do have some options, and even then they could move Darrell Williams there, who probably projects more as a tackle right now. He had a really great year there a few years ago, but he's going to stay on the right side either way. So the Bills, they're going to mix and match as much as they can. And at the end of the day, they hope to get John Feliciano back sooner rather than later. It could be a long, you know, all-season injury, or it could be something where he comes back sooner rather than later, depending on, you know, the severity in the rehab.
Sal, let's go ahead and squash then the idea that perhaps Brian Winters, recently released by the New York Jets, could be in play for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, immediately, I think Bills fans saw that and saw it as a potential opportunity, given the success they had with Spencer Long. But knowing all of the obstacles that are in the way of trying to go after a free agent who was just released by a division foe, and Brian Winters probably isn't a Buffalo Bill when it's all said and done, right?
I have no idea, I mean, to answer that, but you're right. I think you presented the right way with all the challenges. I mean, you'd have to cut somebody from your roster before you even bring him in for a workout, and then you'd have to decide that he's the right fit for your team, and then you have to decide, you know, to let him battle for that. The other X factor is here, how long is John Feliciano out for? Now, Feliciano posted on his Instagram account, he said, "I won't miss too many games, I'll be back," and then he basically wrote, you know, "see you in Vegas." Now, look, I think that's a little optimistic. It's a torn pec. Usually torn pecs that's a season-ending injury. Maybe it won't be here, but week four, to me, is still pretty aggressive in thinking when he can come back. So I don't know. I would not rule out anybody. I think Brandon Bean can be creative. Look, at any moment, they can just decide, okay, we got some undrafted free agents who aren't going to make the club. We're just going to cut them anyway, and then you can bring a guy like Brian Winters in for a workout and say, hey, we're going to add to our depth. So I wouldn't go as far as completely ruling it out, but there are certainly challenges there.
Sal Capaccio, our guest. If we can go back to the Lotulelei news, and how does that affect the tackle position right now in terms of next man up, the depth, and is this an area of concern right now that the Bills might be a little thin there?
You know, I don't think position-wise it's an area of concern. I do think it's a little area of concern as far as how you're going to stop the run. Because last year, this defense was a little leaky stopping the run, guys. And I think, you know, you just lost basically your best run-stuffing D-tackle. And even if he's not, by statistics, is your best run-stuffing defensive tackle, what he does allows everybody else to be better at stopping the run. Now, that said, I think the X factor here is Harrison Phillips. How does Harrison Phillips recover from a torn ACL? The first 3 weeks of last year, Harrison Phillips started getting his snap count going higher and higher and higher, and the person who's that is at the expense was Star Lotulelei. So he was actually taking over Star's spot anyway. Now, is he at a point where he can be that, and you know, I'm not going to say every down, but 50% would be a lot of snaps for a Bills defensive tackle. That's what, you know, playing 50%, that's in a rotation situation. If he can be a on-the-field every-other-play guy, I mean, that's a really big deal. But I also really like the signing of Quentin Jefferson. He's not a run-stuffing DT. He's more of a penetrating. He can play outside. He can play inside. Vernon Butler, he was signed. He's more of an interior guy. He had the best season of his career last year in Carolina, and that was under new Bills defensive line coach, Eric Washington, who was his defensive line coach and defensive coordinator there last year. So, yes, I do think it's a significant loss as far as how are you going to stop the run. But I also think the Bills have done a good job of having players who, you know, they really have options here to see how they want to use that rotation, and especially if Harrison Phillips can be healthy.
Sal, more of a league-wide question for you here. We've got a couple of Bills that have opted out. We've seen other players throughout the league opt out. What we don't know yet is what that deadline to opt out is going to be, and that all kind of hinges right now on the revised CBA getting signed by both the Players Association and the league. It was supposed to be 7 days after it was signed. It's yet to be signed, and now you hear the league saying, hey, we would like to kind of ramp up the opt-out period here and make the deadline either be tomorrow or Wednesday. Have we heard anything final on when the opt-out deadline is going to be league-wide?
No, we haven't. And by the way, real quickly, on the last answer, I never mentioned Ed Oliver. That's obviously not because I'm forgetting him. It's because he's going to be a starter, right? I mean, just want to make sure everybody knows they still have Ed Oliver. Yeah. He's going to be a starter. So I'm wondering just as much as you guys are, you know, what they're going to do here. You can understand from the league standpoint why they want the opt-out deadline to be as quick as possible, because they want their teams and organizations and coaching staffs and personnel people to know what their roster is, right? I mean, that's what they do. That's their league. Hey, if you're going to opt out, we want to know. But you can also understand from the player's standpoint of, hey, we want to have as much time as possible. How does a player know, maybe? A player's argument, which is a good argument, is, hey, I want to know what my facility looks like, what practices look like, if I feel safe before making this decision. And if I have to make this decision in the next couple of days, I don't think I'm as informed. So there's got to be some give and take. It appears from what Adam Schefter reported that, you know, Wednesday could very well be the deadline this week, maybe even tomorrow. But if that's the case and they do go away from that 7 days after it's signed thing, what are the players going to get in return? I don't think the players are just going to say, okay, league. I think they're going to say, well, if you want that opt-out deadline earlier, then you got to give us something a little more in return. So we're both going basically back to what we did in March with the CBA negotiation.
It's an ongoing negotiation. Sal, I look at what's happened in New England. I believe they're up to 8, right? And then you had CJ Mosley, who we haven't even gotten to, the heart of that Jets defense. Miami's not there. Sal, for the AFC East, if the Buffalo Bills don't win this year, if not now, then when?
Yeah, I think right now it would be a disappointment for this organization if they don't, considering the roster they have, the continuity they have, you know, with everybody coming back the way they do in this pandemic and the shortened offseason, and then the losses, as you're talking about. And look, I don't think the Jets or the Dolphins were going to challenge for the division anyway. I mean, the Dolphins made some nice additions. I think they're going to be okay. They have I think Brian Flores has done a great approach. They seem to be a team that's really working their way up, but I also don't think they're quite there yet, and I don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be for 16 games. The Jets, I mean, they're a mess, right? I mean, you look at what's going on with their Jamal Adams situation. It seems like they're almost in a way resetting, but in a way still trying to go after it. They're kind of caught in between here. What they're doing, Joe Douglas, you know, how he wants to shape the roster, and nobody seems to believe that Adam Gase is really the right guy for the job, me included, by the way, as far as a leader. So it comes down to the Bills and Patriots, maybe. The Patriots sign Cam Newton, all of a sudden they become the money line favorite, or at least even with the Bills again, and now they're losing all these really important players. And the Bills, on the other hand, they're just kind of pushing forward, guys. Yep, they lost a couple of guys to opt out, but they're just pushing forward every day and going forward. I think that, yeah, I don't know when, but I think it would be a disappointment. Look, that said, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen this year. None of us does. And at the end of the day and at the end of the season, we could all look back and go, boy, what a weird season it was. I can't believe X happened and Y happened and Z happened. And I don't know if you can hold it against any team or credit any team, no matter how good or bad they do.
Sal, it's always great getting your updates there from Orchard Park, and we look forward to talking to you again here as training camp progresses through its different phases that you outlined for us earlier. Thanks for leading us out of the tunnel this afternoon, Sal, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right, bud?
All right, tell Wild Hack I said hi, all right?
We'll do. Absolutely. Yeah. Sal Capaccio from Buffalo joining us here in the Sports Bar, and if you missed that, we'll have that up later for you. You can listen to On Demand on the radio.com.
All right, he mentioned Wild Hack. Yeah, Syracuse Athletic Director John Wild Hack is going to be calling us here in just a couple minutes, yes?
Yeah, a lot of questions here. Is the Syracuse schedule still not out yet? Who might be that non-conference team? There's a Board of Governors meeting tomorrow, by the way, in the NCAA, so if they say, hey, you know what? Some of these other sports, we're not giving the green light, but the football. I mean, what might we expect out of that Board of Governors meeting? There's a lot we can talk about here. Oh, and by the way, the Pac-12 story, too.
Oh, the Pac-12
story. Yeah, so John Wildhack, great to get him on the show today. We'll talk hockey next hour as well.
Yeah, Dennis Bernstein, the fourth period. He'll be joining us next hour here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. And yeah, we haven't had a chance to react to all of the action from this weekend. But, man, I was like a hog in heaven just watching all this hockey constantly. We're watching it now. The Flames and the Jets are playing in Edmonton right now. I mean, it's just... it's constant action. This is almost, you know what it feels like, Gino? It feels like March Madness. Because you got action that starts in the middle of the day.
Yeah, you never get this.
And it goes after midnight, and it's constant. It's every day, and it's going to be like this for the rest of the month and into next month. I'm smitten. I'm smitten. Sports are back. As long as everybody stays disciplined and everybody follows the rules, we should have some good stuff to talk about here in the Sports Bar over the course of the coming days, weeks, and months.
Yeah, we even had NBA going on right now, Toronto and Miami. So, I mean, we're going to have NBA postseason here coming up shortly, all during the day. Oh, and by the way, we have a golf major coming up at the end of the week.
So all good stuff, and we'll cover it all for you here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us for the ride at AM 950, 95.7 FM and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app. Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack joining us next in the Sports Bar on ESPN Rochester.
Right now, the echoes of seasons past are all we have. Soon, sports will again echo from your radio on ESPN Rochester. And the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia is back. Listen weekday afternoons from 3 till 6 as Rochester's only local sports talk show keeps you up to date on your favorite teams. Expert interviews, analysis, and takes on the Bills, Sabres, and teams and stories you've told us you care most about. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, back on ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.